Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Cave Show. It's PL for another week of shenanigans. Thank you for listening to the best unloved show yesterday. Hopefully you enjoyed playing with Alexis Robinson. Today we are going to do it again live, though. Sorry about that. Yesterday was on assignment, but got some good stuff. Bring it your way today. What are we talking about today? Well, Mr. Kraft decided to get him a little some for the AFC Championship game. The Lakers can't get out of the Lakers' way. And LeBron seems like he's getting more and more irritated. But is he irritated at the right person? Big week for ASU hoops. The draft combine starts this week in NFL. And the Suns broke the 17-game losing streak. We're going to get into all that. Plus, NBC Sports Radio, ASU alum, Michael Carotenuto will be on about 10 minutes. We'll get to him about 8 minutes. As you know, this is the Cave Show with PLR. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get an LM, no PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. That's 4901 South Alma School. You can become a club member, get a locker to back up to a humidor, never worry about sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions, not many, so get in there and find out what you can do. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about today. Robert Kraft, he in some trouble. Lakers, LeBron, I said something years ago, and I want to bring it up today because I'm still sticking by this. We'll get into that in a little bit. Draft combine, Bryce Harper still not signed. A lot of stuff to get into. Like I said, in about 8 minutes, Michael Carotenuto will be joining us. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you for joining the Cave Show with PLR. That call-in number is 917-889-7828. I'm going to open the phone lines up so we get a couple calls in before the guest calls in. Thank you for holding. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Paul, it's Lou. I missed you yesterday.
Lou, what up, buddy? Well, actually, you know what? You didn't, technically. It was a best of show. And so I replayed the Alexis Robinson show from last Friday. I was actually on assignment for Zach Greinke's debut in spring training for the D-backs.
Yeah, we had a lot of wind here yesterday, so I think it knocked some power out too. So anyway, and
that's
who
nice.
Thought
how are you, sir?
Would be in this much trouble? I mean, it's one thing we hear about a player getting this much trouble, but an owner?
Yeah, not only did he go to the wrong house of repute, he went to one with possible human trafficking. I mean, you couldn't have that worse luck if you actually were trying to have that much of worse luck.
No.
You know, now it's just a matter of what do they do now.
You know, he could get prison time for this, too.
He could. He very well could get prison time. But, okay, But then now we snap back into reality. He's worth $6 billion.
I know.
And from everything we can tell, he had no idea that this was, you know, a trafficking ring. So I'm really leaning towards he's going to get the obligatory slap on the wrist. Don't go back into any more hooker houses. And I think that'll probably be the end of it.
Mhm. Unfortunately.
So, you know, you know what? He got caught up. I mean, okay, listen. I understand the trafficking part. I do, and that's bad. That's a real problem. You got these people, you know, being forced to sell their bodies, not able to leave without, you know, someone with them to make sure they don't run away. I mean, that's just god awful terrible. But if we're really just being honest and truthful, we are talking about the oldest profession in the business. And it is legal in parts of Nevada. It is, if he's in Nevada doing it, do we feel the same way? I mean, I think the problem that we're having is that where he was and where he was doing it at and with who he was doing it with. And the fact that he was doing this the day of, the morning of, allegedly, the AFC Championship game. So he was getting a job and then going, getting on a plane and going to his job. So I expect a slap. Let me ask you this, Lou.
Yeah.
If you're the boss of something, can a subordinate punish you? And I say that because everyone acts like Roger Goodell runs the NFL. The owners pay him. He technically works for them. And his job is to – everyone talks about the job. His job is to keep order and this and that. And that's true. But his main job is to make them money. Now, his salary comes from them. So how hard do you think their employee is going to be on that owner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, you kind of lost me there for a minute. Repeat that again.
Okay. So the commissioner of the NFL technically works for the owners, all
right.
32 owners.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is the employee going to be on technically one of his 32 bosses? And probably one of the most influential bosses.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. What else you got for me, my friend, before Character Noodle calls in?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, who'd have thought that would happen to, like, you know, to an owner? I'm still baffled by it.
I'm not. Remember Ursay? Now that's baffling.
Yeah.
Here's a guy driving around with drugs and cash in his car. Now, let me ask you this question. If a player was driving around with cash and with drugs in his car, do you think he would have got a 6-game suspension, or do you think he would have got a lot longer? And do you think he would have gotten off with just some rehab and no jail time?
Probably got
I'm having a hard time believing. So, yeah, I don't believe it. I think he would have did some time.
Okay, well, speaking of that, you know, but what happened with Coach Boeheim at Syracuse, I mean, that was just an unfortunate tragedy that happened. And, you know, I mean, really. Last Wednesday, he wasn't drunk or anything. He was completely sober and passed all the sobriety tests.
Yeah, that's just sad all the way around. You know, and obviously sad for Boeheim, but very, very sad for that family that lost a loved one.
Yeah.
You know, hearts go out to them. And just on Boeheim's part, I like you said, no impairment, no nothing, total accident. But could you imagine living with that every day, waking up every day knowing that, you know, you're the person that took away someone's, you know, father, husband, uncle, son, cousin. I mean, that's accident or no accident. That's a tough, you know, that's tough to live with mentally. I will say this, though. I do agree with Coach K. Coaching may have been therapeutic for him, and all the people saying, well, why was he coaching? What else would he do? I mean, what else? He's going to find comfort from his players, from his university. I mean, Jim Boeheim isn't a guy that got to Syracuse last week. He's been there forever. So I think he was in his comfort zone. And like I said, I don't think him not going to work would have stopped anything or changed anything. And it doesn't make me look at him side-eyed. So, hey, listen, I want to give you a heads up because the guest is calling in. I was just just saw, but I want to give you a heads up. We're on tomorrow. Thursday we're on for a normal show. I'll actually be on the line calling in, so if you want to give a call, you please feel free. But Ryan is actually hosting the show on Thursday. I am actually covering D-backs. Same, everything is the same time. I'm actually covering D-backs and Cleveland. So I will not be available. And then Friday is a best of show as I will be covering the Diamondbacks and the Cubs. So just want to give you a layout, but live on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy. Hey, thank you. Talk to you soon, Lou. Always good to catch up with Lou. Great friend of the program. Always love it when he gives a call in. Always have some good insight. So love it. Love it when you guys line them up. Give me a call. Absolutely love to talk to you. Up next on air, he wanted to be introduced as something like the most wonderful person on earth or something like that. But I'm going to stick to the truth, and I'm going to tell you who this guy is. He knows his stuff. He knows his sports. Very sharp dude. Has his own radio show here every Saturday morning here in Phoenix on NBC Sports Network. And he's an ASU alum, so he's a Sun Devil. He also doesn't believe that you should put ketchup on a hot dog. That is a fault. Without any further ado, here on The Cave Show with PLR, on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Michael Caratino. Mike, what up, buddy?
Oh, wow. That's so nice. It wasn't the most wonderful person in the world. It was the most phenomenal person you know. I figured I could get away with that. Because if I said most wonderful person in the world, you probably would have been like, you know what? My show's full.
What's up, buddy? Finally got you on. It's hard to get birth of your magnitude, so I appreciate it.
Oh, please. Please. You know, I'm here anytime. But no, I was out at spring practice today, you know, catching a little ASU finishing up early this year, and well, starting early, finishing early, and it's been an interesting spring practice and spring training, obviously, with you know, slowly getting started. Heard you talking about, but yeah, you know, it's not raining, it's not freezing, you know, for Arizona people outside, so it's good, man, it's good.
Yeah, Thursday night I think is the maroon and gold game, if I'm not mistaken, 7 or 7:30. So looking forward
to 7 o'clock.
Actually,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Looking forward to popping over to that. I do want to talk a little ASU with you. I want to talk men's basketball. Now, from what I'm hearing and from everything I'm reading, if the tournament was selected today, they would be in. So,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you this question this way: short of losing one or two more games in the regular season and getting bounced early in the Pac-12 tournament, is there any other way that you think ASU, the Sun Devils, would not make the NCAA tournament?
No, I mean, you know, when they beat Washington, I remember saying if they could go, you know, I mean, yeah, if they could win out, it'd be great. But realistically, if they could go, you know, what, 6-1, 5-2 down the stretch, and get that, you know, get not have to play the first day of the Pac-12 tournament, get a victory in the Pac-12 tournament, then there's no way they're not only are they in, they don't have to worry about being in a play-in game. And I mean, there's things they got to shore up, but to answer your question, no, I mean, I think that you know, they if they split with the Oregon schools and they beat U of A in Tucson, I mean, I just again, Homer or not, Paul, I don't see how they're not in with their, you know, I know the quadrant one wins that they're, you know, 4-1, and then in quadrants like 2 through 4, they're you know, in quadrant 4 they're like what, 2 above .500, and in quadrant 3 I think they were like they were at .500, and so, and they're saying all these other top teams are above that, but I just, again, with how they, and if they, like I said, they get the split win against U of A, they're definitely, I say they're in.
Are you worried about any of these three games more than any one in particular between Oregon, Oregon State, and U of A?
I mean, U of A got the sweep too against the Bay schools. You know, Oregon State and Oregon, I mean, I think the Pac-12 overall is sick of hearing, you know, oh, it's down. And again, at the bottom, yes, it doesn't look good. But, I mean, I always tell people, it's not about X's and O's. Go look at the standings and look at the bottom of other conferences and look at, you know, the schedule they play too. Everybody's in the same boat with the one and dones. If I had to worry most, I would think if anybody would want to ruin the season and to overstate the obvious, to me it would be – it would be U of A, because they got to feel too, if they can get on a win streak, keep their win streak going, Paul, and go into the Pac-12 tournament and maybe somehow win it, you know, depending on how committed Washington really is to winning the regular season and then winning the tournament. You know, U of A's got to feel like there's nothing else they'd rather do than, you know, ruin the season for the Sun Devils, keep them out of the tournament. But I mean, I just, that, you know, rivalry game worries me. And then I think you need to get off to a better start, you know, these last three road games, but just get off to a better start on the road. So it's, I mean, U of A does, but Oregon State and, I mean, Oregon just in general, it's schools you feel you should beat. But as you and I both know, not that they're overconfident, when people feel they should beat them, it comes up and bites them. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, To literally control your own destiny, I think we'll let them play more loose and confident, but they still know they need to win.
Two things I know about this team from this year. One, when they play at the top of their game, they're really good, and they've proven they can beat anybody or play with anybody at any time. But the flip side of that is, sometimes I think they read their own press clippings and they play down to their level of opponent. And we saw that against Princeton. And I'm taking a shot at Princeton, but I'm not, because no matter how good or bad Princeton is, they always seem to play smart. So, but when you lose at home to Princeton, that's a bad loss. When you lose at home to Oregon State, that's a bad loss. When you lose at home to Utah, that's a bad loss. So what worries me more than anything is what they do this weekend up in Oregon. I'm not concerned about U of A in terms of them winning or losing. I think no matter what, they'll be up for that game just because it is a rivalry game. But what worries me is, do they go into Oregon thinking, we got them once, we'll get them again? Because I think they'll be focused for Oregon State because they lost to them. The Oregon game worries me just for that reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the second time around in conference, you know, I mean, everybody, all conferences go through it. Yes, I understand we're, you know, this year, obviously with, you know, 12 teams, when it used to be the Pac-10, as we know, everybody would play each other twice. Second time around, yeah, if you beat the team the last time, you're feeling confident, but the adjustments you make, there's more film. Now you can tweak certain things. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely I'm with you on that. I mean, they're all if they don't do it, to piggyback off what you're saying too, as you know, and we talk about this at the games all the time. I mean, it seems like so one person will get going from the free throw line, but everyone else seems to struggle. I mean, last game, obviously this on senior night though, it was Dort was extremely solid from the free throw line. There's, you know, for the most part, Edwards has been very solid from the free throw line, but we sit there and look at each other and you look down and these games are close. It's frustrating because you know, they're shooting barely, you know, they're a little over like 50% from the free throw line. And you and I constantly look at each other like, yes, we all get, you know, everybody's playing, you know, in arenas and stadiums. It's louder, and not saying it's not pressure, but I mean, you're there for a reason. And I think that's what frustrates fans in general, Paul, but if they hit their free throws and the team's clicking, I mean, if they, you know, and if they could even shoot it, I mean, I've looked at you and said, man, if they could just shoot it like just about 70%, you know, 68 to 70%, they would have beat Princeton, you know, and it's always could have, should have, would have, but something is the only thing that you can really control that a player, I think, feels they have most control of. I mean, a free throw, and you've been in close games and you lose them because you're shooting, you know, 50% and completely struggling from the free throw line. So, yeah, I mean, going up to Oregon, I mean, on the road especially, hit your free throws. And, again, like you said, if you're Oregon, I mean, this ASU team should beat them. I mean, I do. I really think they should. And, you know, I know we kid around. And, you know, the Oregon State game last time, he's so close. Again, free throws down the stretch. You're at home. You can't. That's what I think frustrates fans about this team, but which is good to see, and people think I'm crazy when I say this, Paul, is it frustrates them because we now see, like, with what Bobby Hurley's done and in recruiting, and, yeah, I mean, you do get a transfer like Z, and you see what the guards meant last year, but how they're playing as a unit this year, going deeper on the bench, fans now get mad just because – they expect them to win, which we want. They want in Tempe. That's what they're trying to build. But they hit free throws, and I mean, again, I look at you. They hit free throws, and if they're close to 70%, I mean, literally, it's a TNZ said it before. You know, post game and during the week, you know, guys are picking each other up. If they're all clicking together and riding somebody's hot hand, and everybody's contributing, I mean, they are a scary team to play.
Last ASU question, and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, here on the Cave Show with PLR, NBC Sports Radio, one and only Michael Caratino. Is it just me, or when Rob Edwards is hitting shots and balling out, it seems like they always win, or everyone is put in a position to win, and when he's off and when he's missing shots, they seem off?
No, I mean, you brought that up the other night. I mean, I think his, you know, last year he was, you know, and he was banged up. And you look at, you know, just his growth. I mean, yeah, his shot, he has more confidence in it. You know, and early in the season, and now had you said that, you know, a non-conference play the first half of the season, I would have agreed with you. But I also would have said, because I think the other guy that got off to a hot start that was, you know, consistent and was Kamani Lawrence, who was healthy too. I think the first half of the season, it was kind of like Kamani Lawrence, could he get going? You know, could Dort get into a rhythm? And then Rob Edwards, you know, had a few games where, wow, he's hitting shots. But you're right, this second half of the season, and he doesn't force himself into the game. So I'm completely with you, man. That's why I think, again, to have more excitement about this team, it's not like a false sense of hope in the past where you feel like, okay, we're pretty good, but we don't have depth. I mean, guys coming off the bench, the way they're coming in. But, yeah, Rob Edwards, I mean, him in the starting lineup, he gets that shot going. And you got guys like Remy looking for him. I mean, I think it does give the team a little bit of extra, you know, a little hop in their step when they're on the court.
Want to switch up a little bit. Want to talk pro basketball in our city for a second, which means
only...
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the Cave with PLR.
Thank you, Ellie, for the introduction. Phoenix Suns broke the losing streak, stopped it at 17. Now they get to come home and get a few games here. And I asked Kyle Fleeger this from Suns Debate. I'm going to ask you the same question. Suns are 12-50. They're going nowhere fast. They're going to be a bottom three team. Everybody's saying they should tank. You don't have to tank when you're bad. You're just going to lose. So there's no tanking needed. But what should fans be rooting for? If you're a fan, do you want to see them compete, which is what fans have been asking for all year up to a point and they just kind of stopped? Do you want to see them compete in games and possibly win? At this point, do you say, just finish bottom three so we know we're either going to get one of the three Duke guys or one of the two top Duke guys or Jay Moran, who's a point guard from Murray State? At this point, do they just say, look, forget it. We could care less if you compete or not. Or do you think fans still want to see them win?
I think fans in this day and age, to answer your question, want to just see them lose and see if they get in the top three again, bring another young guy in. I am in the crazy minority. I think I've told you this before because I'm sorry. I think DeAndre Ayton has gotten better throughout the season. You know, adjusting, yeah, when you're that big, people are like, well, he's that big, he should be. But you can still get, as you know, being that big or not, you can still get pushed around and it could be a wee bit overwhelming. But how DeAndre Ayton has played, you know, Devin Booker being on the court, Josh Jackson, I think the for some reason when the calendar, I mean, I know last year was being his rookie year, but calendar going past January, I thought Josh Jackson, I know I said to you last year, I thought the second half of the season that he was starting to get it more and, you know, their schedule or not, who they're playing. I mean, they obviously shut Booker down, but Josh Jackson is grilled. I want to win because inevitably, no, I don't think you're going to land a ginormous free agent. You're not going to get like a, you know, a Kevin Durant and, you know, Klay Thompson's not coming here, someone like that. But you want to attract a good free agent. And I think if you show that you can win, then you have, then to me, that sends a better message to fans because it's like you're still going to be 20 wins if they were to get to 20, which – I mean, could be obviously a huge stretch, as Suns fans know. But, you know, if they get to 20, I think you could a free agent that could make a difference could definitely see coming here. But if that free agent is not a point guard, like we have talked about, my friend, then and they don't address the point guard issue again, you and I and everybody else are going to be having the same conversation this time next year because – if you don't think Booker is your point guard and he's not running the point and that's not his game, which a lot feel, yeah, he can handle the ball, but again, he'd be much better off it, going off screens. Yes, he can take some dribbles and shoot, but if they don't address a point guard issue, but I think losing just, again, you know, and you can even cross-relate it to football. I mean, how many years, even when the Cardinals were playing at Sun Devil Stadium, did you hear, oh, they got this good free agent, but you always see a lot of the national media and even some local media being like, yeah, did they pay a little too much for that? Because if you're not winning, if a guy comes here and feels he can help turn it around, but you're still going to overpay for a free agent. So I want to win, and I want to attract a free agent that can help along with another young draft pick. But, I mean, next year you got to stop calling this team. I mean, yes, Ayton will be in his second year and young, and so Josh Jackson will now be in his – it'll be his third season, but you're not going to call Booker, you know. Yeah, I know he was very young when he came in the league at 17, but, you know, you need some veteran leadership, but I think it starts with finding that point guard. But you need to win because you're not going to attract that. In my opinion, Paul, you're not attracting any free agent that's decent. You're going to be going in the second wave of free agency, and I think that should frustrate the fans.
Okay, so just real quickly, I'm going to read off some free agents to you, and then I'm going to tell you, and we'll both agree, they're not going to get these guys. They're not getting Durant. They're not getting Leonard. They're not getting Kyrie.
Nope.
And what's sad is they could have already had Kyrie. Kemba
yep.
is someone who's out there. Klay Thompson, not getting him. DeMarcus Cousins is an unrestricted free agent, and they're obviously not going to get him because they have Ayton, which I think is really sad. But anyway, Butler – Nikola Vucevic, Tobias Harris. But then when I keep going down, I get into these point guards. And you tell me if the Suns throw a boatload of money at them, and they'll have a lot of money, and they'll still be able to get someone else if they chose to come here, D'Angelo Russell. We know Eric Bledsoe's not coming back. And
right.
Here's a name that no one is talking about at all. There's two names, Derrick Rose or – last but not least, I can't think of his name now, Ricky Rubio. Is that a possible free agent person the Suns should target with hope of getting a Ricky Rubio?
I think what Rubio's done in Utah, I mean, to me, Derrick Rose, as much as I have always loved the way he played, and I know the injuries and the disappearing in New York, well, that was a total mess. But I wouldn't mind Derrick Rose, which I know doesn't sound like a huge endorsement for fans like, oh, he's not leaning that way. Rubio, I could go with. I think, you know, he is that point guard that's going to get everybody else involved. I mean, we saw what he did, what he's done in Utah. I mean, now you have a guy like Donovan Mitchell there. And but even before when with Hayward there, I mean, Rubio was a guy that was, you know, being that point guard. Yes, he could score, but he was getting the team involved. The guy that I would want to go after, and I know some things would have to happen, because they were talking about, I mean, he didn't move at the deadline, but would be Mike Conley.
Michael Conley Jr.
I think that
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the Western Conference, two guys that I think are overlooked the most, and yeah, I know they do get national pub-ish, but the two guys overlooked the most that I would put, that you could put on any contending team, and I don't think they're taking a step down, are Conley and Damian Lillard. I mean, those are two guys, like, I love their games, and I think Mike Conley, I know, because what, he still has 1 year left, right, after this year?
Yeah, it would be a trade, and I think the Suns would make the trade.
It'd have to be a trade. I think if you, you know, I mean, if you don't get the number one pick, is it worth, you know, say you get the fourth pick, is it worth swapping picks with, or, well, especially with Memphis, but I mean, is it worth somehow trying to work something out with Memphis, and whether it's draft picks, but if you got a guy like Mike Conley in here next to Devin Booker, you go from a team that we're talking about, you know, is struggling to, you know, barely win 20 games, and could be a 40 win team. And people are like, well, they're still not in the playoffs, but who do you get in the draft? 8-1 more year. Maybe they're, if they're around 40 wins, maybe they're pushing for a playoff spot. But I
yours
don't
keep saying I just 20 wins. This team will be lucky to win 15. And you
well,
keep
right,
saying
I'm trying
20.
To be optimistic for the fans. I'm trying to be optimistic, saying I think they lost 17. If they could go on like a because they've done it, what, once or twice, like once this year, they went on like a 4-game win streak. So if they can win 3 more games, you know, I mean, again, it's one of those things where when I look at it, I'm trying to be optimistic, saying with what Ayton's done, and I know Ayton got a little chippy at the other night, you know, throwing some, basically calling out Booker, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where I like to see that from the big man. I mean, again, don't do it through the media. Hopefully he, you know, told him first or right afterwards when, you know, talked to him and said, look, but I'm being optimistic. If they can get to 20 wins, that's what I'm saying, an attractive free agent, you could kind of lure a guy like Mike Conley over here, in my opinion, because it would be a trade, but I think they get him and they extend him, and you put him next to Booker. I mean, we saw when Memphis was healthy and in the playoffs with, you know, again, the tougher Western Conference, but what he was able to do. So I'm a big, if it, you know, Rubio would probably be my second. I mean, I know he's a free agent, makes it a little bit easier to deal with, because it'll be interesting to see who throws what at Memphis for Conley. Because if I'm the Suns, that's the point guard sweepstakes I get in, Paul, because it's that. And, I mean, you know, you can sell it as, you know, you're looking for 2 point guards. And, you know, if Rubio's a free agent and falls, you know, the Conley stuff doesn't work out and you turn to – I don't think Rubio is a bad second option. I think it will work just as good. But, yeah, I'd rather see for Suns fans to see Mike Conley in a Suns uniform with that base. And I think it would – the person that benefit, people say Devin Booker, but I think it benefits someone like Josh Jackson the most, because he's athletic. I'm not calling Jackson Donovan Mitchell, but – I mean, you look at them playing, you know, out on the wing, and it'll push Jackson out more and extend the court. That's a guy that could definitely benefit, and inevitably, I mean, it's going to benefit everybody. So they need to do that, and hopefully the powers that be will agree and go after Conley.
Yo, my man, time goes fast, and you're having fun. I've eaten up to 10 minutes. I've eaten up to 15 minutes, and I've kept you for 25, so I appreciate it.
Man, it always seems like 5 minutes with you, just 2 guys hanging out.
Tell everyone where they can follow you at and where they can listen to you every Saturday morning.
Well, on Twitter, it's a very shocking Twitter address. It's at Diablos00, you know, in honor of the Sun Devils being an alum. So at Diablos00. Then, yeah, Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KUS AM 1060, NBC sports affiliate here locally. So, yeah, the sports hangover. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Suns and this Saturday, and about maybe a little bit of the thing. There's something called the NFL Combine, I think, this new thing they have, the Combine, starting up. So maybe I might touch on that.
You want to know something crazy before I let you go? I've never gotten into the NFL Combine. I've never gotten excited for it. Does nothing for me.
See, I'm kind of backwards. I was, like, more excited when you really couldn't watch. Like, you would see highlights from it. You know, like, nobody was there doing it. You just saw highlights throughout the day. If somebody ran a 40, and then, you know, obviously the NFL Network comes around, and I'm like, oh, yeah, 40 times. I can just, you know, look it up or go back and check the highlights. But, yeah, I was, like, seemingly more interested when you couldn't see it. And now that I'm not, I'm like, they're just in shorts and T-shirts. Like, you have all this film on them. Like, yeah, they can help their draft stock. I get it. And the interview's important, but when people are like, oh, look what he did, or he jumped this, he did that, I'm like, yeah, there's no pads on, there's nobody flying at you. But, I mean, yeah, it's cool. You know, it's entertaining, plus they sell tickets to it now, so you and I would probably be the only two in Indianapolis that everybody's buying tickets to go in. I'm like, yeah, I'll just sit across the street, eat lunch, and watch it on the TV.
And watch, even if that, because you know what I think it does? It lets smart people outthink themselves. You watch film
Absolutely.
For 4 years, 3-4 years on a guy, and
yep.
you see what he does against live competition, against good competition, and against bad competition. And then you stick him in a combine, and you get impressed what he does by himself. And I keep saying, to me, it's like dating. You've seen a guy date women or date ladies or date men, whatever they want to do, whoever they want to date, and you see him be a total jerk. But you get them online, and they're nice as hell. They've already got the tape showing what they do with the real person. Same thing.
Yeah,
we see quarterbacks fail all the time because they throw perfectly in an enclosed indoor environment. Get them outside in Buffalo, not throwing shade at anybody in particular. Get them outside in Buffalo in the winter with people coming at them, and they look like they did when they were at school in Wyoming. Oops, did I just throw shade?
Yeah, but, oh, man, we're going to have to come back on. We'll have to debate that as it gets closer because, gosh, Allen, that offensive line got him beat up, but that kid, I mean, come on, he went to Minnesota and won halfway through the season when Minnesota was supposed to be better?
Nope. He had plays that entire game. Everything else was defense. Two plays. He made two plays. He sucked the rest of the year when he wasn't running. But, yeah, we'll debate that a little bit more.
He made strides, but you're right. I'm not saying he had a Baker Mayfield type year, but he made strides. But all right, my friend, I will catch up with you soon.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you. He finally came on, the one, the only, Michael Caratino. What a pleasure to get him on. 10:60 Saturday morning sports takeover, 8 to 10. I don't know where my voice is going. All right, couple things we got to clean up before we get out of here. One is the Lakers. They're not good. They're a sporadic average team. And I think it would be suited for LeBron not to make any off-cuff comments. Because you don't know what I'm saying. If you're not saying anything nice, why say it? Look, these young guys are balling. They're trying. It's the old guys that I think are looking down right now. And let's be honest. If we're really honest, we know how good LeBron is. We know what he's accomplished. We know what he's done. We know the resume. We really, truly do. But LeBron doesn't play defense anymore. And see, it's different now. And I've been saying this forever. It is different now. See, when he was in Miami, let me back up. When he was in Cleveland the first time, he was the wonder kid out of Akron, playing for the home team, so to speak, doing things. He came in Detroit, 25 straight points. Take him. Guiding a team full of misfits. Booby Gibson. to the finals. We remember that. First time in there. San Antonio, just they beat him down, but it was his coming out party. We saw what he could do. So there was nothing he could do wrong in Cleveland. He goes down to Miami. Yeah, we know him and Spoelstra didn't always get along, but his best friend, his brother, Dwayne Wade, is there. Chris Bosh, whose role got more and more limited every year, was there. James Jones is there with him. Familiar people with him, with his attitude and the way he feels and his crankiness and all this. That's fine. Then he goes back to Cleveland. The king is coming home. This is the king. This is his city. This is LeBron. It's our turn now. Let's get us to the title. He wins a ring. So LeBron, carte blanche, can do whatever he wants to do. He can say whatever he wants to say. He can call you a barrel of butcher knives, and no one is going to say anything. Because he is LeBron. He is Cleveland. And he won them a championship. And the first one that they lost to Golden State, he had plausible deniability because Kyrie was hurt. But L.A. is different. See, these young whippersnappers were there already. They were there already. And they had no ties or no loyalty to LeBron. Remember, when LeBron first got there and they put King of L.A. billboard up, people rudely and ridiculously spray painted over that. Remember, there's a whole fraction, a whole faction of Laker fans that are not just Laker fans, they're Kobe fans. And no matter what Kobe says, they didn't welcome LeBron. Old guys love Magic. Old guys love Kareem. Old guys love James Worthy. This LeBron era guys, they love Kobe. And it's hard for the fans sometimes to hear him talk about things that he hasn't accomplished as a Laker. When he's calling the shots in L.A., it doesn't seem the same for them. And for the young guys following in Kobe's footsteps, not LeBron's. And I'm not saying they have loyalty to either one. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not in the locker room. But it does seem that I heard Magic Johnson say, you know, this is just business. You got to get over it. Let's do this. Yada, yada. You know, guys are playing to see if they want to be a Laker. See, to Magic, that means everything. Magic was drafted a Laker. He won titles as Lakers. Blood, tears as Laker. Coached the Lakers. Is now president of basketball operations for the Lakers. Never played for another team. Never wanted to play for another team. Was treated like a son by Dr. Buss. Is best of friends with Jeannie Buss. Magic is a 100% Laker. Magic has never been thought of being traded. Magic was too good. He never had to go through playoffs with Magic Johnson. Never. But now, this is a different era of player. Antennas go up a little bit more, a little bit longer. And you're telling people, and I'm going to clean this up when I say this, but what you basically told Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, and Hart, forget the vets, what you basically told them, we really could do without you if we could get Anthony Davis. In fact, we're going to try our best to do without you to get Anthony Davis. And then that falls through, and you say, you know what, you got to prove you want to be a Laker. Okay, Magic, you came to Lakers with Kareem and history, recent history of them going to playoffs and winning. You had the greatest score in point total in NBA history of all time. You had a league MVP. You had a man who had won a title with Oscar Robertson. You had a man who had won a title in Milwaukee with Kareem. So you're coming to Lakers, and it's a whole different thing. These guys are Lakers, and now they're told that they could be traded. They could move on. They could go. And when they don't go, you say, well, you know what? Prove that you want to be here. I don't think they care to prove that they want to be there. I really don't. I don't think they're going to play poorly. I don't. I think they're going to play as well as they can because I think they're going to be seeking other opportunities. I think they are. Because you're going to get to a point where if no one comes there, you're going to make up your mind. What are you going to do with these guys? And I'm really finding it hard to believe that free agents are going to come there. Listen, let me say this to you one more time. LeBron is an incredible player. His resume is impeccable. But the LeBron that left for Miami and the LeBron that went back to Cleveland is not the LeBron that's here. And if you are a superstar in the magnitude of a Kawhi, obviously we saw like a Paul George, or maybe an AD. I don't know what AD has on his mind. Do you want to come and play second fiddle to a person who is still great, but is great more in name now than what they do for 48 minutes? Because we had video all year, but especially last night, of LeBron playing Ole defense. And I'm going to tell you this. We got on James Harden when he did that. We got on James Harden when he played Ole defense. We got on him by saying, what are you saving yourself for? Play. LeBron can't get a pass on this. And if you're a superstar, you're looking at an average team who, if you're coming in, somebody's going out. So let's say the Lakers made this trade. Part of me wishes they would have made the trade. Because I don't think this LeBron and Anthony Davis, who does get hurt quite frequently, and the leftover pieces that would have been there, would have really performed that much better. They still would have had no shooting. They still wouldn't have played any defense. I don't know. We're going to talk about this more as the week goes on. But it perplexes me to think that just because it's the Lakers and just because it's LeBron, everyone thinks all of a sudden this is going to be better. No, it's not the same Lakers. No, it's not the same LeBron. And I go back to saying, and I may be the lone man in this corner. I think the Lakers would be either exactly where they are now or better off if they had went the route of getting Kawhi, if they had went the route of getting Paul George. Because I think their personalities would have allowed more for these young, talented people, these young, talented players to grow. LeBron does not play well in the sandbox with young guys. He likes veterans who know what they're doing, who know what to expect, who know what's going on. What did he say the other night? You can't know what it is if you really haven't been there. And I'm paraphrasing. But was he the right fit for this Laker team? See, I think Magic and Rob thought we'll get LeBron and everyone wants to come play with him. I think what they're going to be surprised to find is that not everyone wants to come and play the number two guy if they're already a superstar. This isn't the old days. And if the Warriors, which I believe they will, maxes out Klay Thompson, why would Klay leave what he has to go and hope that something turns into what he already has? We'll talk more. Lakers are coming to town. So we'll definitely be talking more. Zach Greinke was on the mound yesterday for the Diamondbacks. Good outing. Looked good in his two innings. Like I said, I'll be back over there Thursday and Friday. I have more to report on for you. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Hey, listen, make sure you keep checking us out, too, on the Casual Sports Network. We're everywhere. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you to the callers that called in. Thank you to Mike Caratenuto from NBC Sports Radio 1060. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page for Cave Waters with the K. And make sure you get us at thesportscave.com keep up with the articles and all the stuff we have going on. Again, the Sports Cave with the K. And you can follow me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great rest of your Tuesday. I think it's Taco Tuesday. Maybe that's a good idea. Until next time, this is PLR. This is the Cave Show. Everyone have a great Tuesday.